Cindy.
Yeah.
To talk about the County Bronx.
Oh, yeah, County Bronx.
Good start, David.
It's cold and quiet.
I think what we need to do is, since Gall is head of two committees, he can easily afford. He can easily.
Can you start the meeting?
Sure.
No. No, go ahead.
There he comes.
Okay, I'm real sorry about this. I'm going to ask you, Kay, if you would be so kind as to chair for a couple of minutes, because
she did.
I just have
to. Have to go out.
Good. You done? Ready? Thank you. It's 7 minutes after three, and this meeting, excuse me, it's 4 minutes after three, and this meeting is called to order of the House Committee on Community and Regional Affairs. President or Representatives Wallace, Kopanen, Phillips, Maru, and Gall. Today we'll be taking up House Bill 253 by Representative Kopanen relating to tax exemptions on fire protection, or for fire protection. And Representative Kopanen, would you like to speak to the bill?
Thank you. As you see in your folder, the bill was first passed by the 12th legislature in 1981, and was finally passed Bill 87. And essentially allows for an optional assessment in the case of municipalities for fire protection purposes. This is essentially because fire protection is provided by municipalities, halls, or fire departments and the like, is a structural fire protection. And that is the level of training that is provided, and the way the equipment is used and the like. It is difficult in areas that are partially rural and partially urban to form volunteer fire departments unless they are given some degree of the support. That local support should come from the particular services that is provided, i.e. structural fire protection, and which is not wildfire or land fire, and it would be considerably easier for areas to organize. This is not at all mandatory and not at all necessarily area-wide. It would have to be adopted by an ordinance. It could be, and the intent generally is to apply it to a district that is set up within a borough, a service district which is allowed under various borough ordinances for the particular purpose of providing structural fire protection, and would make it possible to have a coherently organized fire service district. As it is in the North Star Borough, some of the fire service districts have great gaps in coverage, which are due to the fact that there are intervening parcels of open land that are owned by people who are holding them for later sale, and which were then included out by ordinance. That represents a problem not only from the other being included out of the district, but also by the fact that the way ordinances and general requirements run, you're not allowed to run a borough-owned piece of fire equipment outside of the service area unless you have a mutual aid agreement. So it puts you in an odd position some places of crossing a no man's land illegally to get to a fire that is in your service district because the boat happens to run outside of it. It also has resulted in the organization of some subscription fire services such as Sheeta Gulfstream, which I belong to, and Fondries in the Ketchikan area, which means that fire service is not uniformly provided and generally not offered to renters or to people of little means because of the level of service cost. The cost typically, however, is not any higher than the savings in fire insurance, which is why people with the more expensive pieces of property do belong to these more expensive improvements, do belong to the departments. The Fairbanks North Star Borough is looking at the possibility of allowing a broader organization of fire service districts throughout the area and last night passed an ordinance supporting House Bill 253, allowing municipality exempt land from property taxes and from special assessments and fire protection facilities because the larger landowners have not been able to become part of the process. The delay is not just because of the ownership question itself. The way that the ordinances generally allow service district elections is that 50% of the property owners have to sign. It means that you have to go to the bank or the mortgage company and get the signature of the corporation, which in case of non-resident corporations is extraordinarily difficult. They then do not vote upon it, and in fact, in most instances, it requires the signatures of more people to have the election called than actually would vote in the subsequent election, because only human beings vote in the election. So this is because the property owner requirement that has placed a delay, and this would make it less necessary, less likely that there would be objection from non-resident landowners. We have had support from Matanuska-Susitna Borough, Kenai Borough, and the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. But essentially, it's only allowing local governments to make a decision locally. We are not mandating it, nor are we saying the form it should take. Eager to answer any questions.
Questions by Representative Murrow?
I have heard from some elected municipal office holders from the district, and they in general are all in favor of this, with one suggestion which seems reasonable, which I'd like to present for the sponsors' consideration, prime sponsors' consideration. That is, that rather than allow exemption either on or off, that is either 0% or 100%, why not allow a partial so that the municipality can then decide whether they might want to remove all the tax from the land and for one reason or another might want to tax the improvements only at, say, 20% of their mill rate or whatever in this particular fire service district. So therefore, I don't know what language you might use. I've come up with, on line 13, we might say a municipality may by ordinance fully or partially exempt land. And then on line 15, we could say may levy the full or partial tax. And, of course, the same language would go into the optional exemption to give them, actually give them more latitude.
Well, I couldn't have problem with say on line 13 and line 15. I'm not entire. I remember some of the arguments in the Fairbanks borough, and we might find a problem there because the fire service is a service to the for the structures or improvements. I mean, it's there for that particular purpose. I'd like to hear some of the witnesses who represent the municipalities.
Further questions? Comments? First witness will be Mr. Worley, Department of Community and Regional Affairs.
My name is Mike Worley. I'm the state assessor, and I'm representing CNRA today. First of all, we would like to emphasize that we are aware of the problem, and for the past several days, we've been working very hard trying to find solutions to the problem, which are different from the solution that is proposed in the bill. We have some concerns with the concept in Section 1 of the bill. Given the choice between having no service areas, if it were a clear choice, and allowing this concept to pass in law, I think that we would take the latter of two. We do have some concerns, and we believe that they're genuine concerns, and so we're taking this opportunity to voice these concerns. We just want to emphasize again that we very much would like to see the problem solved. We understand that at least in Fairbanks North Star Borough that the problem has become extremely serious, and we do believe that it needs to be resolved. We think that first of all, fire protection is necessary on vacant land or land that does not have structures. For the protection of agricultural crops and trees, livestock, wildlife, fences, for example, which have value, but the assessor normally does not pick up in a municipality on the assessment rule. So I guess the first step is that we think that there really is a legitimate reason to pay for fire protection on vacant land. If you take that one step further, and we say that possibly only a percentage of 100% should be paid by the individual who has vacant land or land without structures on it, then we see another possible danger into the future where that concept could also be addressed toward police protection, and I think for exactly the same reasons. If I owned a vacant lot and the person next to me owned a lot with a structure on it, I think that under that same logic and concept that I should be expected to pay less for police protection than the person who has more to lose. So we see the concept in that light, and we see that there are at least potential dangers. We also see that that some folks might stretch that further toward road maintenance service areas, possibly sewer projects or maintenance, water maintenance, and even into libraries and public services, for example, planning and zoning and assessing. Now, as I stated these things, I think I got further and further from realistically what might be a danger. But we certainly are concerned about that concept, and I guess the bottom line of our concern is that there might be a sort of Pandora's box opened up here where eventually it could cost more to collect the tax and administer the collection of the tax than or fee than it would actually be worth to the municipality. We think that, and we certainly hope, that there would be some other ways to look at this, at the solution to the problem. For example, we do know that we've been speaking with people in Fairbanks, and we know that apparently there was a petition which was circulated. It received a great deal of positive response from the public in regard to adopting an area-wide service area for the purpose of fire protection, which would be borough-wide. We would like to see something like that go on the ballot, and if it received the approval of the voters, we believe that a service area, even though Fairbanks North Star Borough does not have the jurisdiction under law as a second-class borough to control fire protection and provide fire protection, it can certainly oversee a service area and loan money to that service area for the creation of fire protection facilities. We'd like to see something like that happen, or possibly a little more creative type of financing between the borough and the service area, so that the money from the general fund, which goes really as a loan to the service area, perhaps could be stretched out, that the payments could be stretched out over a longer period of time. If that were to happen, then perhaps that would soften the feelings of people with the bare land, particularly if it were pointed out that they would be receiving benefits from this sort of thing. Another thing that we understand has happened in Fairbanks recently is that the assembly, I believe, and I'm not positive that it was the governing body of the assembly, made the decision to go to the vote, as Representative Copeland just mentioned, rather than a petition process. And it is our understanding, and please correct us if we're wrong, that in the near future we will see whether indeed that might solve the problem, at least in a more extreme area or areas. Again, we really want to emphasize we think the problem needs to be resolved. We just have some concerns that this might not be the best way to resolve the problem.
Representative Phillips had a question.
I got two, one for the witness, one for Neil.
Why don't we let Neil ask the questions first and then proceed. Representative Copeland?
Yes. Don't we currently have the same distinction in road service districts, water, and sewer?
Are they similar? Is it credit to the fire protection? Is that the question?
Not paying for road service district, which I'm adjacent to, but not served by. I'm on a public highway, and same thing, I own property in College, which is served by a water and sewer college utilities. I don't use the water and sewer, therefore I don't pay the assessment. In fact, reason I don't use it because the assessment is $20,000. But anyway, the distinction already exists in those areas.
Well, across the state, we have a tremendous variety of arrangements that exist between governing bodies and service areas. And we indeed do have the kinds of arrangements, and I think predominantly so, where when an improvement goes across the front of your property line, that you are obligated to pay for the creation of that improvement and for the maintenance of that improvement, because it does two things. First of all, it makes itself available to you and your property. It's up to you to tap into it if it's a water line, sewer line, for example. And the second thing is it does improve the value or increase the value of your property. So it's that logic on which the payment is, justification of the payment is based. road service areas as well, and municipalities which have road powers. We find that anyone who has access to the road is expected to pay in many areas. And, of course, we're looking at the statewide picture. We recognize, and I fail to say this, we recognize that this is only enabling legislation, and we really appreciate the fact that a precedent would not be mandated. We believe that a precedent in concept would be set. If I could say one more thing, which I failed to say, Section 2 of the bill, Section 1 I think is certainly the most controversial in the bill. Section 2 we don't regard as controversial, and we do suggest to the committee that they entertain the thought of expanding that exemption to include improvements and land and personal property, rather than just to include an exemption on the land of a fire protection facility.
Representative Phillips?
Mr. Chairman, it must be Friday or something. I really am missing it badly this afternoon.
I'm having a little problem.
Why is the CRA so concerned about this when the municipal government, by ordinance, doesn't make its own decision? I mean, what business, I'll just be a real radical here, what business does the CRA have something like this with the government?
Well, we're concerned about public policy, for example, in the one case, under the one concept.
This is Eagle River speaking, by the way.
Okay. The second thing, and which we're more concerned about, is that the state of Alaska would be setting a precedent saying that it's okay to assess a lesser amount at a lesser level, depending on the level of service, or at no level at all, depending once again on the level of service.
Yeah, but the local government makes that decision.
That's right. But the precedent that is set is that state law now says that it's okay to do that. So what we see is someone, a radical of some kind, challenging this in court and saying, okay, we think you should make it available to me to pay less for the millage rate
portion
of lease protection.
Are you saying on the local
because
government?
Because what's good, probably an individual property owner from somewhere in the state.
Well, let's get to the example to get to your point. Are you saying within the same local government, or say, if you if one local government adopts a portion of this for fire protection, and let's say it's adopted in North Star Borough, and somebody in the Kenai, North Kenai area, says, well, they do it up there, why can't we do this? You're talking about
no. What we're saying is that somebody in the Kenai would say to the state of Alaska,
right.
We think you guys should give us the same option on police protection because it's the same
concept. Okay, well then you just go to your local borough assembly.
You go to your legislator and you say, authorize us to do so, but there's no authorization here to do that.
So what we're saying is that we're getting very close, if not right into the middle, of an equal protection problem through the payment of taxes. And that's our real concern, that someone would make a case for based on an equal protection problem. When you don't pay for a service which you receive, and of course you understand our position is you do receive the service, even if this bill passed, we believe that the person would receive the service.
You mean because the fire department is obligated to put out a fire in its jurisdiction if it sees one?
I think that that might very well be the case, mm-hmm. But secondly, I think more realistically, if the fire is headed towards structures, mm-hmm. then certainly the fire department would automatically put it out, rather than endanger the structures and the lives of the people in the structures.
Okay,
so
well, just interfering with Representative Phillips' question just slightly, why then do you accept number 2 and not number 1?
Well, because number 2 we read differently, and if we misunderstand, then we certainly would like to be corrected. The way we read number 2 is that if a special assessment, please note that the section for section 2 is 2963.066, which is special assessments for special sewer projects, water projects, and so forth. It is not general taxation. Section 1 is 2953, AS 2953, which is general property taxation. They're completely different concepts. Okay, so starting with that, 2963.066, being the section which deals with a special project, sewer or water line, let's say, which would go in front of the property on which sits a fire protection facility, we understand the bill to say that it would exempt only the land.
I understand. Representative Phillips, I'm sorry.
I'm still missing the point on equal protection. Obviously, each local government will make its own decision on this thing, right? Through an ordinance. And then I assume ordinance will go either way.
That won't bring that in.
How is this going to interfere with equal protection?
Well,
are you afraid that one local government's going to have a different set of rules?
No.
Versus another exemption?
No. What we're saying is that, first of all, you have to buy our argument in order to understand the second one. You have to buy our argument that the owner of vacant property does both need and receive fire protection automatically for crops and livestock and grazing land and so forth. Now, that being the case, then, that person is receiving a service paid for by taxpayers of that community through a property tax, which he is not paying for if the bill passes.
Why isn't
it? Because this land is exempt from that tax.
Representative Crooked?
Wouldn't that particular exemption be discussed? You know, you're talking about a fire service district. If it consists of property that includes cropland, wouldn't precisely that question be discussed in the design of that ordinance?
I think it would, and I think that it might pass and might not, and you're absolutely right. But another precedent that would be set by the legislature in the event this were to become law, and the legislature would give its blessing to the concept that it's okay not to pay for protection that you receive.
No, we're saying, in my mind, we're saying the local government, you make the decision, and they're the ones who are given the blessing.
Okay, but what he's saying is that if the state empowers the local government to exempt from taxation an entity in the community that receives the benefits of that taxation, then taxpayers also receiving those benefits will be able to sue the local government, saying that they're paying for benefits they're receiving, whereas the others are receiving benefits they're not paying.
I'd like to see if we're mandated or not.
Representative Coleman.
Well, we have churches, schools, nonprofit institutions, which are receiving all these services.
Sorry, I...
I'm sorry. Well, perhaps I'm not being very clear, and I apologize if I'm not, but we do still believe that there is a problem. And once again, we certainly hope that the problems are solved if they exist in Mattsu and Kenai as well, and also Kitchener.
Well, do you have any recommendation? I think what Representative Copeland is trying to accomplish and the other co-sponsors of this bill has something to do with the fact that certain types of property tend not to need the benefits of certain services, and of course it's true that conditions could arise where that wouldn't be the case, but I think it's a little different to suggest that if some child gets lost in the woods that the police would say, well, no, we're not, there are no taxes there, so we're not going to look there, whereas it would literally take somebody to go out there and start a fire to suggest that they would need fire service. I'm sure the statistics for unoccupied woodlands, catching on fire are significantly less for, other types of houses and what have you. And
yeah, I'm
positive for some equity. What do you recommend? You've made some comments, or at least Deputy Commissioner Smith suggested that you had some thoughts as to local options on resolving the issue. I think you spoke to them earlier, but I didn't quite understand them.
What we're trying to get away from, Representative Dahl, is the concept of giving preferential tax treatment to property and individuals. So that's where we see the danger. So our thought from the Office of the State Assessor is if we can get away from that and go to more creative financing by the borough, from the borough to the service area, or the possibility of an area-wide vote rather than a petition process.
But what would be the right of a local municipality to take any of those actions unless they're empowered by law to create certain exemptions?
No, we're saying that the exemption would not exist. We're saying that there would be other ways to solve the problem and still stay away from this concept of exempting property.
I know Representative Maru has a question, so just briefly, for example, what would be a way that we could all understand the first time through here?
Okay, well, one way is what Fairbanks is going through right now, and that is the possibility of putting on the ballot the option for all citizens in the borough that the borough adopt a borough-wide service area for fire protection purposes. So every person, every taxpayer, every property, well, every taxpayer, renter, or property owner in the borough would pay a share of the fire protection service.
Well, that would not provide any relief for those people, though. I mean, that just saves the borough.
Well, we're broadening the base of property to be covered, and any time the base is broadened...
Oh, you mean because the service area would go outside of the corporate limits?
It would include the entire Fairbanks.
How is that different from what goes on today?
Well, because what happens today is you have a small service area which has one fire hall, one fire engine, and so forth. Then you have another small service area which also has its own fire engine and so on and so forth.
Representative Copeland, why doesn't that solve the problem? I mean, if the areas that are in the service area are formed, why couldn't these areas be left out?
In the beginning of my statement, the service areas now may be formed and they exempt by ordinance blocks of land so that the service area looks something like a checkerboard. And this doesn't give you a uniform standard of service. Also, you run into the problems with insurance and also liability where you're not supposed to, except in case a mutual aid agreement run outside of your service area boundaries. And since the roads go straight and the service area boundaries are not, you essence, in fact, sometimes have to go outside of your service area boundaries just to get to the other portion of the damn thing. So if you have an accident, you know, with your fire truck on the wrong portion of the road, you're no longer covered.
So when
you increase your liability.
Would a solution be then for the borough, for example, to do just what you say here, to, for example, put a quarter mill tax on the real estate and a larger tax on the improvements, and in that way be taxing the improvements and not the... I mean, that would be another option open to the borough.
Yeah, and Ripon Moreau's suggestion about partially or wholly exempting land from a tax on line 13 would be an acceptable amendment for me if you want to draw up a committee substitute.
So then, forgive me, sir, how would that change the bill?
On line 13, after the word by ordinance, insert the word partially or wholly. In other words, so you can
and
have a
site. And take out the four fire protection stuff and just say may partially exempt land from a tax?
No, you'd leave the rest of it exactly the same way. I don't wish to open it up in the way that... you see, the bill is being attacked on the ground that this may open it up. I wish to keep it as tight as possible. And also, partially because we're talking about the kind of fire protection. Structural fires are fought with different equipment. The science of fighting a fire in a building is quite different from fighting open land fires, which have an unlimited supply of oxygen.
So by putting in partially exempt, that would mean that they could discount the tax on the surface estate for land which is undeveloped essentially.
But I would this would offer them the alternative of partially or wholly. In other words, they might put a lower tax. Regard.
I see. And you do not...
This is actually historically the way that many of the cities and boroughs do function, actually.
I see.
Property values.
But once again...
I'm not sure they're supposed to, but they sure as hell do.
But even with that language, you would still be concerned with the undeveloped phrase that we discussed earlier.
We'll leave the rest of the thing quite... exempt land from a tax because of the question, what is undeveloped?
Oh, right.
Land.
Right.
That I think would lead to all kinds of interesting laws.
Yeah, I hear you. Representing people subdividing their property to have their land under their house, a separate ownership from the land around there. Representative Maru?
I have two witnesses.
Bring them up, please. I hope they have
been a long week.
I have two questions for the witness. Both of them are corroborating and emphasizing what Representative Phillips is asking, to a lesser extent what Representative Gall is asking. That is that I'm surprised to see DCRA involved here. It raises eyebrows at the very least. Of course, this is a public hearing. Anybody can come, but you see DCRA...
Well, anyway, this room.
You see DCRA officially involved. It seems to me to be a clear-cut case of an issue between the legislature and the municipalities. Certainly, there's a zero fiscal note, which is obviously fitting. And I just wonder why you folks are involved. That's my first question. The second question is, this may be due to my ignorance, but I wasn't aware the state had any tax assessors. I wonder why the state has tax assessors, because assessors, by nature, assess property for mill rate levies, and I'm not aware that the state had any mill rate levies, and therefore, why does the state need a tax assessor?
My response to your first question.
You haven't gotten your tax bill for your office yet.
We're involved because we're concerned that it is not the best public policy to indicate to a municipality something which we are concerned might cause some legal problems. So we're raising concerns. As I said in the very beginning, given the choice of having people die because they don't have a service district, fire service district, and passing this bill, we'd like to see the bill passed. But we're voicing concerns because this is performed. And we do have these genuine concerns. We've been going through discussions with various people for about 3 days, trying to find a way not to have these concerns, but the concerns keep cropping up.
Well, if worse came to worse and somebody filed a suit because of this, would they sue DCRA? That doesn't seem reasonable.
Well, no, we think you? That, no, we're not concerned about DCRA, but we are concerned about public policy that is not the best public policy, which tends to encourage a problem, number one, which is my find it's really an equal protection question in the courts. Number two, which indicates that it is okay to tax based on the level of service received. Now, this is a legitimate real property tax where that concept has never been introduced into real property taxation. It is in user fees, in the user fees concept, but not in the real property taxation concept. And over the years in travels about the lower 48 in this business, we found that there has been much discussion, like the discussion we're having today, and that it has never taken root and has never taken hold. And those were the reasons that it did not in those cases. Secondly, the state assessor was, the Office of the State Assessor was formed in, I think, in about 1964 or 5, something like that, by the legislature because of concerns that municipalities were not taxing in an equitable and fair way under statutes. And annually we report to the legislature the status of the municipal assessment rolls, municipal level of bonding, bonded indebtedness, and a number of other things. We do statistical studies on the quality of assessment work in municipalities. And we also assist all municipalities with assessment problems. For example, the smaller ones which cannot afford an assessor are calling on us all the time for assistance.
Representative Phillips.
I just wondered, you got any complaints from this Valley Ranger lately?
No. Not that I know of.
Hefty increase in their taxes lately.
Oh, no, we have not heard. There are some things that are making the front pages when other municipalities will.
But you guys would look into something like that, right?
Yes, we certainly did. In fact, last session, Senate Bill 213 gave us jurisdiction to look at municipal assessment rolls and assessment procedures and tax collection procedures and write letters to municipalities in the event we find major errors and direct them to correct those errors.
Further questions of the witness? Representative Copeland.
We do in Section 29, Title 29, have all kinds of exemptions which actually refer to the improvements or buildings or other things.
One and two.
Three pages of the back. And so therefore I don't follow the
either.
No, I won't well in any further.
I guess I would just like to clarify it with you a bit. Because the one issue that is hard for me to have an answer that I can walk away with was the equal protection issue. And I was just wondering if you had a comment for the committee on that as to the question of basically, well, there are two issues that concern me. One was the idea of exempting land from the tax, which would imply to me that it would have to exempt all the land and then just tax the improvements on all land. And so, in a sense, that answers my question about undeveloped and also answers my question about equal protection, because it would basically be, I don't think they can exempt some land from the tax and not exempt others, then you run into litigation. But if the community says, look, on this fire protection tax, we're not going to count the assessment on the land, we're just going to count the assessment on the improvement, it would seem to me that it's true that landowners who do not have improvements would save the tax. But on the other hand, I don't have any children, but I pay school tax, and that is justified on the basis that it is even across the board, you know? So, does that respond at all to you?
Well, I do understand what you're saying, and
I started out
as
a question, sir. I sort of answered my own question.
we just see situations, for example, like the heavily forested area in southeast Alaska, mm-hmm. in the event that all the trees, which depending on the worldwide pulp and so forth markets, at times have tremendous value, might very well be completely exempted from payment of
fire protection tax.
Exactly. But we do believe...
You know, what is the state's obligation? Doesn't the state have an obligation for forested private land fire protection?
I have no idea. I don't think...
Gee, I wish I had the Division of Forestry here, but it's my understanding that they have got obligations on both federal and private land when it comes to forest fire protection.
Well, on the one hand, that could be, but I think on the other hand, I haven't seen any fire stations that are owned by the state either. So I think in a practical sense that the Fire Protection Service is not provided.
I'm not sure I understand that. I don't believe in your average forest fire unless a native corporation land that the local fire department would have any role to play at all.
Well, I believe they probably would have because they could cut fire lines to stop the fire, and those kinds of practices are unless...
Okay. I hear you. Thank you, sir.
But they're under the authority.
Representative Maru?
Yes. Further to what I said earlier, constitutionally, the executive branch executes what the legislative branch mandates. In this case, I can't see that there's anything to execute on the part of the executive branch, and I would ask you again, why is DCRA involved? And you can certainly feel free later on to extend my comments to Commissioner Noddy.
Well, we are concerned about these things. We really appreciate the opposite points of view and also the exercise we've gone through here. We still do have some concerns, and we feel like that we would be amiss not to voice those concerns if we do have genuine concerns. So
I would add too that with regard to the unorganized borough, although that's not really germane to this bill, the Department of Community and Regional Affairs functions as the agency of the executive branch, which carries out the mandate of the so-called borough assembly of the unorganized borough, which is us. And so in addition to being an arm of the executive branch, in that regard, the executive branch and the department are arms of the legislature, for what that's worth.
Of course, we do exempt both.
Well, of course.
that area.
Thank you very much. Further questions of the witness or comments? Or
thanks very much to the members.
Thank you. Also signed up to testify is Linda Anderson, Fairbanks North Star Borough.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, my name is Linda Anderson, Fairbanks North Star Borough. I don't really have anything new to add that has not already been said, other than to lend support to Representative Copeland's legislation. And Fairbanks has been very concerned, and this problem is not a new problem. This legislation, as it is written, was in your packet. You might find a copy of a bill that was passed by the House in 1981, same language. It was passed by a very wide margin. It died in the Senate because of lack of time. You know, we didn't have 120 days, or still wasn't enough time. So, anyway, like I said, I really have nothing more to add other than I would like to stress the local option portion of this legislation, and that's what our borough would certainly like to have that ability.
Representative Copeland.
Actually, we do have objections to including one of Representative Moreau's suggestions in line 13 to say partially or wholly exempt land, so that it isn't, so the borough has the choice of, say, setting a 1 mil rate on land and 2 mils on property. It sort of extends the options instead of in or out.
Yes, Representative Copeland, I don't see that as a problem. I think that would give them more flexibility and more clearly define what they can do, and at this point I don't see a problem with that.
Would you like to make that an amendment, Representative?
I thought I'd wait for all the witnesses.
Any further questions of the witness? Thank you very much, Ms. Anderson. Anyone who has not signed up wish to testify and make comment at this time? Discussion on the bill or amendments, recommendations, comments?
Mr. Burgess, do you have any comments from other boroughs? Other areas of the state?
There's got to be some comments here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Scott Burgess, Alaska Municipal League. We have not prepared to testify on this. I have not received any comments. It does, the one issue that is raised, that is part of our policy, is to preserve the local option, that they do have the option to exempt property if they feel it's necessary, and this preserves that right. And this came from an individual borough, and I've not heard any opposition from any of the other members, so glad to answer any questions beyond that.
Thank you. Are you going to ask him where he got his tie?
No, I'm going to state that the Kenai Peninsula Borough is fully in favor of this.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you very much, Mr. Burke. May I ask the
Could Representative where he got you? His tie?
Oh, my tie up.
Well.
Further comments or questions? It is Friday, I can see. Representative Wallace, is that Representative Culkin?
I would like to move, therefore, that line 13, we amend the bill by inserting after the word ordinance the word partially or wholly, so that it would then read, a municipality may by ordinance partially or wholly exempt land from a tax for fire protection service, etc. And to move that as a CS after the amendment.
Unanimous consent. Objections. Hearing none. Amendment number one is adopted. Line 13 will read, a municipality may by ordinance partially or wholly exempt land from a tax. Four.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Maru.
I move the bill with individual recs.
Objections. Hearing none. House Bill 253 amended is passed from the House Committee.
Why would we make a CS?
CS. For HB 253, CNRA is passed from the committee with individual recommendations. And just one announcement. As three of you know, we met on Thursday with the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, who came to represent the administration. Prior to that meeting, I had met with Mr. What's his name? Legislative liaison. Gillespie, from the governor's office. And it is the consensus of the administration that they do not wish to participate in any modifications of House Bill 139, that they understand that they've got problems with it and they want to take their chances. And members of the committee are welcome to offer amendments. We will maintain our schedule and hear the bill Friday. If you have amendments, changes, deletions, whatever you can convince the members of, go for it. And we'll try to move the bill out Friday and let it take its chances as it goes. Representative Maru.
There's already been one amendment.
Yes, sir. Representative Maru's amendment is on the table. Will be voted on Friday, and the bill will move out Friday, and we'll just go for it. So this cancels our meetings for Tuesday and Thursday. And members would want to correct their schedule. We're not meeting next Tuesday or next Thursday now. Just our regular Monday, Wednesday, and Friday meetings. I'll announce it on the floor on Monday. Unless there's further business, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
It is 12 minutes to 4.
Don't forget the sign.
Yes, and if you'll just hang on a minute, Representative Copeland, sir, we can get that bill signed.